Turn back to Psalm 19. Let's first do our memory verse. Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Very good. Let that sink in these weeks that we're going through this. We're moving along pretty good, I suppose. Depends on how you gauge that. I don't know how you gauge that. So we've kind of slowed down here a little bit, verses 7 through 9. But these are the names that David gives the Word of God here. And I think if anything, it's all the Word of God. But if anything, when we talk about the names of the Word of God, we need to slow down a little bit, pay attention to it, see what's going on here. Let's read verse. We'll start at 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. We've been talking now for the last few weeks here about these names that David gives the Word of God, and we've come down to the last one here in verse 9, which is the judgments of the Lord. David says here, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. Last week we talked about the fear of the Lord, but we're moving on to the last part of that verse here with the judgments of the Lord. The nature of that word, the verse here, the name is judgments. The word judgments means a verdict, favorable or unfavorable, pronounced judiciously, especially a sentence of divine law. The judgments of the Lord here. As we look into them this morning, as we think of the ones that we've went through already, the law of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord here. As we come down to this last one and we think about what it means, the judgments of the Lord. This book is full of the judgments of the Lord. It's one of the names that David gives the Word of God here. And you know, folks, like the definition says here, it's a verdict favorable or unfavorable. When the Word of God is opened, the judgments of the Lord are taught, preached, we're either going to find out that we're favorable or unfavorable. If we've trusted the Lord as our Savior, then we should be on the favorable side of things, even though sometimes, if we walk in the flesh instead of in the spirit, that judgment won't be favorable for us. But if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, if you never trusted Him as your personal Lord and Savior, come to Him in repentance and faith and ask Him to forgive you of your sins, and come into your heart and save you, then the judgments of the Lord are not favorable for you at all. I would suggest that you pay attention to the Word of God as it's taught and preached, and that you read the Word of God, and that you pay attention to the Spirit of God and ask Him to speak to your heart. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior, ask Him to reveal those judgments to you. I think of Steve Wolf's testimony of when he got saved and how he read in Revelation. Steve, you're the only guy I ever know that said he read Revelation and then got saved. And I'm not saying that's wrong. I, I believe your testimony fully. But you saw judgments in there, no doubt, a lot of things happening, and it woke you up, and we thank the Lord for that. But if you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need to, or you'll fall under the judgment of the Lord. We're going to look at a couple different verses here that have to do with the judgment of the Lord. And some of them, all of them are in the book of Psalms. Psalm 36, turn over there. First thing we see about the judgments of the Lord is that they're deep. In verses 6 and 7 of chapter 36 here of Psalms, the Bible says, let's back up to verse 5. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like great mountains, thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. And we could go on reading there. But what I want to see was back in verse 6 where it says, thy judgments are a great deep. If you look up the great deep there, it means like the sea or the ocean. It's great. It's hard. There's a whole lot there to understand when it comes to the ocean or a sea. There's a lot that we can't see. When you look at the ocean, there's a whole lot that you just can't see. I'm not one that travels to the beach. I know that probably surprises you. But I have been to Cape May, and I drove by in one of my jobs years ago. I drove by Ocean City, and that was as close as I wanted to get. But we did take the family one time to Cape May, and that was the first time I ever saw the ocean. And you know, it was in the fall of the year. We didn't have to put up with all the mess and everything that's on a beach. But I saw the ocean, and I thought, wow, it's great, it's huge. And you could stand there and look at it and never quite understand it completely. You could learn some things about it, but you could never understand it completely. And that's kind of the way God's judgments are. We're going to see that there are things that we can learn about them. But nonetheless, here is David says it's as a great deep. There's so much to understand about it, and that you can't really figure it all out. And sometimes you just have to take it by faith, God's judgments, and what he has in his word for us. They're very deep. And let's go over to Psalm 119. I know you know we were going there. I found that in these explaining these names here in Psalm 19, that Psalm 119 has been great help in that. Psalm 119, we'll start up here at the beginning, verses 6 and 7. The Bible says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. It says in verse 7, the last part of that, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. He's going to praise the Lord when he's learned them. And we'll see here, there's another verse that we'll get to where it says that he will teach us his judgments. Again, there's so much about the judgments, like I just said, there's so much that's deep that we don't understand, but he'll give us understanding of what we need to understand in his word. And it says here, David says, I will praise thee with uprightness of heart. And then there's a time word, when is that going to happen? When I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. And folks, isn't that true? As we learn things in the word of God and we learn his judgments, that we praise him more. I thank the Lord for things that I've learned over the past 40 plus years of being saved, things that some things have come easy, some things have come harder, but I praise the Lord for what he's shown me in his word and what he's shown me even about the judgments of God. They're not only deep, but they're learnable here in verses 7 and 8. Then look over in verse 39 of Psalm 119. Verse 39 says, "Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good." David's asking God to turn away the reproach that he fears. And he says, why? He says, "For thy judgments are good." The judgments are not only deep, learnable, but they're good. David says that the judgments are good. Folks, it's good that we have a God that gives us his judgments, that puts them in his word and lets us know what's about to happen or what's going to happen or what has happened. We've seen results many times as we read through the Bible, especially the Old Testament. You see the results of judgment. You even see them in the New Testament. About Ananias and Sapphira, that was in Acts. That was judgment. Fell on them quick. And we see that here. The judgments of the Lord, they're good. They're good for us. They're deep. They're to be much to be understood. They're learnable. They're good. And in verse 62, it says, "At midnight I will arise and give thee give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments." We see they're not only deep, learnable, and good, but they're righteous. They're righteous judgments. They're not just something that God puts out there because it's his opinion. God doesn't have an opinion. He has his judgments, and they're right. They're good, the Bible says, and they're righteous. You know, as we think about judgments, it's kind of like laws in our land today. There's some laws that are good, and there's some laws that are bad. There's some laws that go in our favor and some laws that are being made now that are going against our favor. I got to spend a little time Friday evening. I took Angie. We went to Sarah's baby shower, and they also had, it was kind of a double baby shower. Joanna Thren is having a baby in August, and so they got together. The family got there at their church, and they had a baby shower for them. So I got to spend a little bit of time with Brother Mark, and we were talking there. We got the fellowship and everything with them. But he was talking to me about the legislation in Canada, laws and things that are being gone through their judicial system now are getting made. I'm not sure exactly the words to use there, but the government there. His father-in-law was there as well, who is a Canadian, and I'd never got to meet him. He was a pastor for years, and we had some good fellowship with him. We got to talk a little bit about Canada and things up there, and I thought it'd be a good chance. I was very respectful to him about this, but we were sitting at Cracker Barrel eating, and I said, I thought I'd just kind of push this in on him a little bit. I said, "So it's been a little while since the Olympics. How you guys doing with the whole hockey thing?" And he goes, "They'll be all right." that's just worldly stuff. But we were talking, and a lot of our conversation revolved around what was going on in their legislature. And they're trying to push laws on hate speech. And you say, "Well, that's up there. It's here too. It's coming more and more each day." And what they kind of concluded was, it's probably going to go through and it'll get put on the shelf and be a little quiet for a while. And then the next time they really need to gouge into the freedom of speech, get down to brass tacks, churches preaching, when they want to get down to that next time, they'll pull it off the books and throw it at them. But nonetheless, we were talking about judgments. Nonetheless, there with that and how that some things are good for us and some are not. The judgments that we face. The Word of God here is called the judgments of the Lord. We saw that they're deep, they're learnable, they're good, they're righteous. And verse 75, you see here it says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I put down here that they're not only deep, learnable, good, and righteous, but they got his attention. It says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. Why does he know that? It says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. Has the word of God, the judgments of God, ever afflicted you? Have they ever got in there really good? They ever made you squirm, Wyatt? The judgments of God? It's the judgments of God. David's saying here that they've afflicted him. They've kind of, I've been afflicted a time or two in my life, physically, and it's not comfortable. Things happen not comfortable when you're afflicted, when you're hurt, and it affects your whole life. But the judgments here, David said that the judgments of God, or the word of God, that there's times, he says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right. He said, I know they're right. But basically what he's saying here is, you've been faithful, Lord, and you've afflicted me with them. Folks, there's things that are going to be said from here, from anywhere where you can hear the preaching of the word of God. There's things that are going to be said in the Word of God when you're just reading the Word of God that are going to afflict you. And those are the judgments of God. Do something about it when it happens. Do something about it. Don't ignore it. Don't push it off. Get it right. Take care of it. That's for you and I, not just putting it out there against others. And there's one more in Psalm 119. That's 102. He says here, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. That one kind of goes back to the learnable that I spoke about earlier in verses 6 and 7. But he says here in 102, I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. Folks, is there anything that we should do in our lives as Christians? Is let God teach us. I many times go back to that verse in Job, and I need to memorize the reference, but part of that verse, and it's only part of it, but it says, who teacheth like him? There's no one that can teach like him. I try to teach you stuff here in Sunday school, and I feel like I'm the least of the least that could stand up here and give you anything to be taught. If you're getting anything, you're getting it because God gave it to me and he gave me the ability to do this. I will put Pastor Wilson on a pedestal as a teacher. He's a preacher, yes, but him and I've had this conversation. You are a teacher. You teach. You really teach. the Word of God. And I thank the Lord for all the things that Pastor Cobins has taught over the years and others that have come through here. Each one of us can teach, but nobody teaches like the Lord. Let the Lord teach his judgments to us. In verse 102, I have not departed from thy judgments. That's very important as well. Don't give up. Don't kick them aside. Don't give up on the Lord and turn from him. Turn to him and stay with him. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. We need to be teachable, folks. We need to be teachable of the judgments of the Lord. While you're there, you can turn over to verse 160. That's kind of in the next part of this. We saw the nature of the name here, and that was the judgments of the Lord. Then the attribute that we get from it is the word true. Thy judgments are true. The word true here means stability, truth, trustworthiness, assured, established, faithful, right, and sure. That's the word true. In verse 160 there, we see in Psalm 119, it says, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. It kind of sums up the whole judgment thing here, doesn't it? The word of God is true, and it said back in Psalm 119 in verse 9 that the judgments of the Lord are true. They're true. The word of God is true, says in 160. It's true from the beginning. From the beginning and all the way through, folks, it's true. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. We don't have to worry about the judgments that are in God's word being kicked out. You know, there's some laws of our land that get abolished from time to time. They get, that's no longer a law. I've heard of things recently that our president has done, and he's kind of getting the praise from some people for it, and I don't really know what to think about it because I work on equipment, but he had a group of I'll call them fancy farmers in D.C. here recently, and they're the fancy farmers. The farmers that are farmers were back home doing the work, but they were the fancy ones that were on the streets, and he was speaking to them and talking about laws that had been passed that they're kicking off the books and being gone, having to do with diesel engines and stuff like that. And all that does for the people that are working on them is confuse it just a little bit more. And he talks about the billions of dollars it's going to save people. But nonetheless, we'll keep the politics out of it. It's what, back to the Word of God, it's being true. It's true, and it says here in this verse, in verse 160, it says that word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. You don't have to worry about them being cut out of the book of the Lord. His judgments will always be there, and they'll always be true. You don't have to worry about one day when we as believers stand before him, when we stand before at the judgment seat of Christ, we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our advocate, so we are protected there, but we will stand accountable for the things that we say and do. But the rest of the world that's not stable will stand before God one day, and the judgments are not going to change for them. These judgments that we read in his word today are the ones, this is the book that they'll be judged out of. This is the book that will be judged out of. The difference is we have an advocate. If we know him as our Savior, we have one to stand up for us. There's, we saw the nature, the attribute here, And then we see the nutrition, just like we've seen with each one of these words, names of the Word of God. We saw these three things. And back in Psalm 19 again, Psalm 19, verse 9, it said, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether." The nutrition we get from this here is found in the last part of the verse where it says that they are true and righteous altogether. Righteous altogether means to cleanse, clean self, to be and to turn to righteousness. That's the word. They're righteous. And then altogether means a unit. The judgments of the Lord work together in righteousness. Psalm 119 and verse 9. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." That's a very good verse, and a verse that I've used many times when I taught the teen boys class. And I'm not one to ever stand up here and say that we would change the word of God. But I would say there, where it says, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way?" I'd like to put there a man, a young man, a middle-aged man, an old man. We all need to cleanse our way from time to time. It affects us all. It affects Jeremiah back here, one of the youngest men here in the church right now, young man. It affects him. It affects other young ones here. Let me pick out here. Colby, you're kind of still in that young man category, but you're creeping up there into the middle. Wyatt, it affects you, all you men. It affects me at 57. It affects Pastor Cobins. Frank, it affects you. It even affects Ed Krause back here in the corner. All those age men, and it affects this young fellow up here on the front row today. "Wherewithal shall Sam cleanse his way?" Hey, he says it's right. That's right. "By taking heed thereto according to thy word." So think about the judgments of the Lord. Again, they're favorable or unfavorable. Where are you today? Where do you stand when it comes to the judgments of the Lord? And that wraps up the names of the Lord. And I just wanted to look back at them very quickly and go over them and just say a word as we look at them. Verse 7, the law of the Lord. What did we find out about that? We found out that it was perfect and that it converted the soul. And the testimony of the Lord, we've seen that it was sure. It said it makes wise the simple. The statutes, we learned about them and that they're right. They bring rejoicing to the heart. The commandment of the Lord, that it's pure, it's clean, folks. That you don't have to worry about it being messed up. It's clean. But it also enlightens the eyes. It gives you and I enlightenment that we need to get through this life and to walk with the Lord and to see things that, you know, I said about the judgments this morning. They're like the sea. You don't understand everything about it. But, you know, as the Lord gives us enlightenment and he teaches us, we'll see more and more about the judgments of the Lord. In verse 9, the fear of the Lord, that fear, it's clean. And it's not just clean for today, it's clean, it's enduring forever. And then again, the righteousness, the judgments of the Lord, they're true. We don't have to worry about them either. They're true and they're righteous altogether. It all sums up there together. And then as we move on to verse 10, the section that we're in here happens to be verses 7 through 11 here. But we've talked about these names for a while now, and we said that they were the character of the word. And then the second point in these verses 7 through 10 is the compassion for the word. We find that in verse 10. It says, "More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb." Compassion for the word is found here. David expresses great compassion for the word of God in verse 10. His compassion can be seen throughout the book of Psalms, many places. Let's look again at Psalm 119, with two passages there, and then we're going to look at Proverbs. Psalm 119 and verse 72 to start with. It says, "The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver." David had compassion for the word of God, and he says that it's better than gold or silver. In verse 127, "Therefore I love thy commandments above gold, yea, above fine gold. Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." David had a compassion for the word of God there. He said, "I hate every false way." If you don't have if you get some compassion for the word of God in your life, you will hate every false way. Amen. You won't want to try to dip around and see what you can get into, what you can't, and what you can do a little bit of this and then ask forgiveness and then come back. If you get some compassion about the word of God, you'll start to hate every false way. There's many things that I have learned over my years since being saved, and I've learned that I need to hate a lot of things. There's a lot of things I should hate them. Evil ways, wrong things, fleshly things, hate them, turn from them. In Proverbs, turn over there, chapter 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Chapter 3 and verse 13 through 18. Is that right reference? I believe it is. We're going to go with it. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are clean and pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is the tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." See, David here, this isn't David, but Solomon, he had a passion about the word of God and how precious it was here to him. Preciousness in chapter 8 of Proverbs. Chapter 8 and verses 10 and 11. "Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared with it." And we could go on reading about wisdom there. And David here, back in Psalm 19, had a compassion for the word of God. There was not only compassion for his word found there, but there was preciousness in his word found in verse 10 of Psalm 19. where it said, more to be desired. You're in close there. Turn back to Psalm 112. We had this verse last week, but it works good again this week. Psalm 112 and verse 1, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. The Lord, the word of God is to be greatly desired by you and I. We had this verse as well last week, and that was in Job 23 and verse 12, where he says, I have esteemed the words of thy mouth more than my necessary food. There's a desire, there's a preciousness about the word of God that David is expressing here back in Psalm 119. It's moreover, he said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. There's pleasure in the word. Sweeter also than honey, says here. The word of God can bring greater, the word of God can bring greater pleasures than the pleasures of sense. Only the spiritual mind will grasp this truth, which in eternity will become extremely plain. Folks, only that wasn't me, that was a writer that I was looking at that said that. He said that it's only a spiritual mind will grasp this truth, that the word of God can bring greater pleasures than the pleasures of sense. Many times the pleasures that we have in this life are from our senses. Pleasurable things that we want or want to do or want to taste or feel, touch, whatever, they bring pleasures to our sense. But what David's saying here, he said, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. He's saying the word of God is sweeter than if I took the honey right out, sucked it right out of the honeycomb. And great pleasure that he gets from the word of God. You and I should get pleasure from the word of God. Psalm 63. Got one, two places to look here and we'll be done. Psalm 63. In verses 5 and 6. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, and I meditate on thee in the night watches. David's saying here that he'll be satisfied. He will be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When is he going to do this? He said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches. What's our memory verse? That the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, that the meditation, David said, when I'm meditating on you, I'm satisfied. The sweetness of the word of God satisfies him. Psalm 119, and we're done. 103. Psalm 119 and verse 103. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. He said, it's that the word of God here, it's sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth, sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. David's trying to describe the word of God back there in chapter 19 and verse 10. And he says, what he's saying is, my senses, the best I can describe to you folks is it's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. And that's, again, it's as that writer said, that only a spiritual mind will grasp this truth, which in eternity will become extremely plain. Folks, what we desire and want and taste here is going to be nothing one day. But if we desire the word of God, like David says that he desired it here, one day, folks, one day we'll be able to somehow look back, I believe, and see that we won't have to look back. We'll just know. We'll understand that, boy, I was glad I spent that time in the Word of God. I'm glad God taught me that. I'm glad I went to church. I'm glad I sat under the preaching of the Word of God and the teaching of the Word of God. One of these days, folks, it will be worth it all.